Polyamory is the practice of engaging in multiple romantic and sexual relationships with the consent of all involved. In the United States alone, it is estimated between 13 and 16 million individuals participate in polyamorous relationships. Although the practice is far from mainstream, the community surrounding it has managed to create numerous celebrations and conventions, spreading awareness and educating people about their relationship style. And some voices in this community have been louder than others, gaining recognition in the form of thousands of followers and millions of viewers. Take, for example, Franklin Vo, who has been involved in polyamory for a little over 3 decades, and who in that time has managed to become a prominent figure within the polyamorous community. He has created artwork that is often used to help display the various subsets of polyamory. He has often spoken about his experience as a polyamorous individual and the ethics involved. And he has written 2 books about polyamory, both of which detail his partners and the relationships Franklin had with them. And while Franklin has portrayed his partners and their shared experiences in a light favorable to him, they have spoken out in a way that tells an entirely different story. This is the story of the Franklin Vo survivors. Franklin met Celeste in 1986 in Florida, and soon after, they began dating. When Franklin and Celeste entered their relationship, it was entirely monogamous, though Franklin had already shown interest in polyamory in prior years. However, 2 years into their relationship, Franklin approached Celeste with the idea of polyamory, and she agreed conditionally. The primary conditions were that she would have final say over if anyone could be in a romantic or sexual relationship with Franklin, and to what extent those relationships could grow. Celeste also had Franklin agree not to use variations of the phrase, "I love you," except with her. Franklin agreed with these conditions, and Celeste herself engaged in polyamorous sexual relationships, but avoid anything romantic, and still considered herself monogamous. The first partner that Franklin sought out after his and Celeste's agreement was the girlfriend of his friend Tim named Cindy. Prior to meeting Celeste, this had been something that he and Tim had done before, where they had a rivalry-type relationship over a girl. However, Cindy and Tim eventually broke up, and she exited their lives. After this, Celeste and Franklin moved to Sarasota, and Franklin met a girl named Ruby at school. Tim began dating Ruby and moved in with her, eventually moving around the country with her. However, Tim and Ruby broke up around 6 or 7 years into Celeste and Franklin's relationship, causing her to move back to Florida and move in with Franklin and Celeste. This started to cause strain in Franklin and Celeste's relationship, as Franklin wanted to have a relationship with Ruby while she responded only platonically to him. It was at the point where one room over from an alone Celeste, Franklin would be staying in Ruby's room until she kicked him out to go to sleep. Eventually, Ruby fell in love with someone else and fully rejected Franklin. This was a huge blow to Franklin, causing him to act upset to the point that Celeste was preparing to leave. Once Franklin saw that Celeste was trying to leave, he started breaking down and crying. And after Celeste confronted him about how he had to decide what he wanted, causing him to give up on Ruby and stay with Celeste. After this, Franklin started treating Ruby poorly, ignoring her and speaking poorly of her. While the full extent of Franklin's treatment is unknown, it was to the point that Ruby never won Franklin in her life ever again. Later on, Celeste and Franklin moved to Tampa, where Franklin met Bella and Marianne. These two would end up being Franklin's girlfriends, though both of them were long distance. Celeste was happy with this situation. She got to live a primarily monogamous lifestyle, while Franklin got to say that he had a wife and 2 girlfriends. Around this time, Franklin and Celeste began to become more involved in the local poly scene, though Celeste considered herself monogamous in a poly relationship. Franklin was also becoming more popular in the poly community around this time, through his blogging and other projects. One of these projects was how Franklin met Elaine. Elaine met Franklin sometime between 2000 and 2002, becoming a beta tester for a sex-based Monopoly-like game, Onyx. Soon after this, Franklin started showing a sexual interest in Elaine, something that Elaine refused to proceed with until she met with Celeste. Elaine eventually met with Celeste and became good friends with her, to the point that it was clear that were Franklin and Celeste to ever divorce, Elaine was leaving with Celeste. Elaine and Franklin's relationship was long distance, something that Elaine was happy about as she was coming from a bad breakup and felt that it would be harder to get hurt this way. Elaine also considered her relationship to Franklin in a similar way to Celeste, feeling that she was monogamous, but accepting of Franklin's polyamorous ways. While early on in the relationship, there were some issues, especially regarding the phrase, "I love you," they were resolved rather quickly in a way favorable to Elaine. However, these easily resolved issues would not be the last of Elaine and Franklin's problems. Elaine learned that Franklin rarely discussed with Celeste the nature of his relationships, and would often change the terms and boundaries of them without telling her, expecting her to accept and accommodate them. One such boundary was Elaine and Franklin having unprotected sex, as Franklin did not make clear to Elaine that he and Celeste had a boundary on that. Elaine was not prepared for a relationship with these restrictions, as when she was with Franklin, she was only thinking about their relationship and didn't want to involve other people. Franklin calmed Celeste down about this, but continued to do things that Elaine felt might be crossing a boundary, such as when Franklin said that if he met Elaine first, he might not have been Polly at all. Franklin also pressured Elaine to cross her own personal boundaries, such as involving more people in their relationship. While Elaine obliged to make Franklin happy, she felt uncomfortable as she still saw herself as monogamous. This wasn't the only problem that occurred in Franklin and Elaine's relationship, something Elaine's friend Katrina helped Elaine notice. Katrina was a friend of Elaine's who decided to get to know both Celeste and Franklin so that she would better understand the relationship her friend was in and support her with anything that occurred through it. One thing that both she and Elaine noticed about Franklin was that he heavily avoided confrontation, never answering to accusations. Instead, he would change the subject or not respond to it. Franklin would also generally accept the accusation, but refuse to speak about it, making acceptance of it not lead to any positive change. The one time Franklin didn't accept an accusation was when Elaine asked Franklin to end his sexual relationship with Marianne. During Elaine and Franklin's relationship, Franklin offered her second primary status. This would put her on a level near Celeste, giving her the theoretical ability to veto who Franklin entered a relationship with. Elaine accepted the status, as she wanted to be able to keep Franklin the same as when they started the relationship, with him having the same partners and not adding more. After this acceptance, Elaine began to be treated similarly to Celeste, with Franklin changing his relationship status and adding more and just expecting her to accept it. Eventually, Franklin offered Elaine the choice to terminate his relationship with Marianne, remaining friends with her but nothing more, to help Elaine feel more secure in her position. While Elaine didn't enjoy the idea of interfering with Franklin's relationship, she felt that she could take this offer because it was Franklin's idea and he was acting as though it wouldn't have an impact on him. Elaine agreed to have Franklin end this relationship with Marianne, but when she later brought it up with him, he denied ever having said anything about it, and asked what Elaine was talking about. This was one of the earliest examples of Franklin's gaslighting, but Katrina had been present when Franklin offered Elaine the deal, and so Elaine was supported by someone else. Elaine felt that she would never seek to end one of Franklin's relationships, and the idea that she would was wrong. She also felt the only reason Franklin had brought it up was because she felt she wasn't getting enough time with him, being a long-distance partner. It was eventually because of these conflicts that Celeste had Franklin end his relationship with Elaine.
Elaine's relationship with Franklin lasted about a year. Celeste made the decision to have Franklin end the relationship because Elaine was consistently calling her in tears because Franklin was barely giving her any time. The relationship that Franklin was offering Elaine was also in direct conflict to hers and Franklin's. When Franklin ended the relationship with Elaine, he blamed it on Celeste, using her as an excuse despite the fact that it was because of his lying and not spending time with her. Blaming Celeste was consistent with another behavior that Elaine noticed, and that he would act as though he was simply reacting to the actions of others, rather than dealing with the consequences that his relationship structure created. In his book detailing his relationship with Celeste, Franklin claims that he was devastated by the loss of Elaine. This is not consistent with Elaine's experiences, as Franklin never contacted her following his eventual divorce with Celeste, despite her being a potential second primary or someone who made him question his polyamory.
Around the same time that Elaine and Franklin's relationship ended, Amber entered the picture. Amber was Franklin's girlfriend who started changing things in Celeste and Franklin's relationships. This was because she wanted more from the relationship than simply to be a secondary, so Franklin started changing his behavior. Celeste believes he did this because he was becoming discontent with the idea of all his girlfriends being secondary to Celeste. This caused Celeste to have to take a back seat in her and Franklin's relationship, with Amber demanding time with Franklin regardless of occurrences in Celeste's life, like her birthday. Because of these changes, Celeste approached Franklin with the idea of counseling. About a year into the relationship with Amber, they decided to see a counselor that understood polyamory, once with just the two of them and a second time with Amber. It was at the end of the second counseling session that Franklin asked Celeste for a divorce. Franklin took no action towards getting a divorce after the session. Celeste decided that she would start the divorce process and spent the month dividing up hers and Franklin's finances, finalizing everything so that when she left Florida, she wouldn't have to go back for anything. Around this time, Franklin was having a girlfriend from Boston come visit. Celeste decided to leave for the weekend, as she didn't want to be around Franklin or for him to use her car to drive his girlfriends around. Celeste returned Monday, and while she was doing her laundry, Franklin returned home. As he was walking upstairs to Amber's room, Franklin looked at Celeste and said, "You don't know what I'm capable of doing." This caused Celeste to feel incredibly threatened, though Franklin denies that this was a threat. Celeste called some of her friends who had known Franklin for 10 years, and while they didn't believe he would hurt her, they thought it was safer if she got away from him. Celeste quickly packed her clothes and some other things, as she didn't know how long she would be away, and left. Celeste eventually returned to get more stuff when Franklin and Amber went to Boston. One thing she got was a violet wand that Franklin had bought for them to use at play parties one Christmas. Since Franklin was no longer using it with her, Celeste felt that it was within her right to take it and soon after trade it for a laptop so that she could get on the internet. This angered Franklin, though the details of that argument are vague, aside from how he believed that because it wasn't fully Celeste, she shouldn't have traded it. Soon after, Celeste had divorce papers delivered to Franklin.
This made Franklin more outraged than he had ever been at Celeste, screaming at her about how terribly she was treating him, as opposed to previous disagreements where they sat down and discussed their differences. These claims of Celeste treating him badly, however, were completely unfounded. While Celeste did have some restrictions in relationships she expected of Franklin, Celeste was very supportive of Franklin, helping him with his computer business and doing the vast majority of the housework, all while working a job that generally paid more than Franklin's. This was simply the beginning of Franklin altering the story of his relationship with Celeste.
Early into the divorce, Franklin attempted to sue for alimony, as his parents helped support them while Celeste was in dental school. This, however, went nowhere, as Franklin's parents had a good relationship with Celeste and had no interest in suing her. Franklin also tried to convince Celeste that she was being lied to by her friends, as he appears to have believed that they had convinced her to leave. Celeste, however, kept documentation of the text messages he sent trying to convince her of this, and found that he was often trying to lie to her. Throughout the rest of the divorce, Franklin tried to get money out of Celeste, and felt they had money stolen from him, as stocks that were given to him as payment were split between the two. One way he tried to get money out of Celeste was from the house bills that Amber paid, but Celeste hadn't been living with them when she paid for that, causing Celeste to owe nothing. Eventually, they decide to sell the house, but because they broke even, Celeste ended up owing Franklin no money. Once Franklin realized this, he and Celeste mostly cut contact, with the exception of a few calls and emails. While Celeste was aware that Franklin moved to Georgia, and eventually cross-country, until she was contacted years later, Franklin was largely gone from her life. Once Franklin and Celeste were divorced, Franklin began to live with Amber. Amber considered this the real star of the relationship, and considers the time spent living with both Franklin and Celeste as more akin to an emotional hostage situation. This was partly because Franklin would never take responsibility for the roles that he and Celeste had established, and expected Amber to keep track of them. An example of this was the first time Amber and Franklin had sex. Franklin was unaware if Celeste was okay with their relationship going that far. While Amber and Franklin were living together, they were in a terrible financial situation, living off of credit cards. This was because Amber was going to school, and Franklin refused to get a job, despite Amber sending him Craigslist ads every morning. When Amber approached Franklin on money concerns, he would deflect as he did with many partners. While this financial abuse was bad, it was not the only sort of abuse that Amber experienced. Throughout Amber and Franklin's relationship, Franklin coerced Amber into activities that she didn't want to be involved in, or she later found were inappropriate. BDSM was one such activity, as Amber was inexperienced in it and later felt that due to this inexperience, she shouldn't have been able to consent. In retrospect, Amber also found the age difference between them inappropriate for that activity, as she was 24 when they entered the relationship, while Franklin was 36. Amber was also involved in group sex with Franklin and his other partners that she didn't want to participate in, but did so out of fear that Franklin would find her not poly enough if she refused. After about 2 or 3 years of living with Franklin, they separated with Franklin moving to Atlanta. Amber felt relief at this, though her and Franklin were still technically in a relationship, with Amber visiting him occasionally. However, this relationship felt less like the relationship of a lover to Amber, but more like the relationship of a caregiver. During this time of living separately, Amber eventually stopped having a sexual relationship with Franklin, and felt great relief when Franklin moved to Portland, as Franklin's partner Vera was taking over the role of primary caregiver. The entirety of their relationship lasted for 7 years. 7 years that Amber now describes as a black hole of awfulness. Lauren met Franklin in late 2006, when he was living in Atlanta. They were local partners for a time, though Lauren eventually moved to New Jersey in the middle of the next year. Lauren had learned about Franklin from his writings, and while she felt they offered very good advice on how to act in a poly relationship, or relationships in general, she was surprised at how bad he was at living it out. One example of this was his lack of transparency, as Lauren had difficulty keeping track of his relationships, whose count expanded all throughout their own. Franklin was also terrible at long-distance relationships, something he admitted to but made no attempts to correct. This was shown by how he only initiated long-distance contact once, when the cat he adopted from her got sick. This made Lauren's relationship with Franklin very odd, as they would not speak for months on end, but when they met in person, Franklin appeared madly in love with her. Anytime Lauren confronted Franklin on him not keeping in contact with her, he would always act like it was the first time they were discussing it, and apologize that she felt sad because of it. He also expected any argument she made in support of it to be purely logic-based, which drove Lauren further away because it forced her to justify everything without emotion. Because of these relationship conditions, Lauren and Franklin were frequently on and off. By 2010, after Franklin had moved to Portland, Lauren and Franklin were still together but had mostly lost contact. This contact was rekindled briefly in 2011 when Lauren visited Portland and Franklin would visit her later that year in Boston, with him promising that he would make their relationship work because he missed her in his life. He never contacted her again. Lauren doesn't believe that Franklin was malicious in their relationship, rather incompetent, but note that given how many times Lauren brought their issues to the forefront, it required a certain degree of willful ignorance to not see their relationship issues. About a year after Franklin began his relationship with Lauren, he met Paula on OkCupid while in Florida. Paula was his partner for about 2 years, and during that time engaged in kink with Franklin, where she was the sub. Franklin was the first partner Paula had ever engaged in kink play with, and he presented himself as an expert dom. Despite this, Paula found him terrible. This was primarily because Franklin didn't really care for what Paula got out of the experience and often did orgasm denial, something they said was common in a dom-sub relationship, but which Paula later discovered was only present if previously negotiated. Franklin also liked pushing shiny buttons or ignoring boundaries, like using acupuncture on Paula because of her fear of needles. He would also push boundaries in other ways, like trying to engage in kink while in public, causing Paula to not go out to dinner with Franklin. Franklin also published what he and Paula did to LiveJournal, though it was often inaccurate and portrayed Franklin as kink god. These postings also caused Paula to deal with stalkerish fangirls who wanted to be her friend because of her relationship with Franklin. Overall, Paula's experience in kink with Franklin caused her to leave the poly community and largely the kink community. Franklin also used their dom-sub relationship to cheat on her. Cheating in poly relationships is exactly the same as in other relationships, and that occurs when partners engage in relationships that were not consented to by all members of the relationship, just with more people involved. Paula's relationship with Franklin was fluid bonded, a term which means they weren't using condoms. Because of this, Paula wanted to be aware of any sexual interaction that Franklin had, not to stop him, but so she could make an informed choice on whether she wanted to keep a fluid-bonded relationship. One time when Franklin was visiting, after she and Franklin had already had sex, he mentioned that he had had oral sex while in LA. This violated their agreement because Paula was now at risk for STDs because of him, and so Paula accused him of cheating. Despite Paula's protests to the contrary, Franklin decided that this accusation came from jealousy, and not because he had broken their agreement. He never apologized for this. Paula eventually broke up with Franklin around when he moved to Portland, because for the 2 months prior he had failed to contact her at all, something consistent with many of his long-distance relationships. It was also influenced by Franklin's partner Amy, who thought Paula not being openly poly could create conflict if Franklin and Paula ever lived together. Paula was also dealing with suicidal thoughts from failings that Franklin perceived in her, thoughts that had not existed prior to their relationship. Overall, Paula believes that Franklin's poly advice is good, but they fails to live up to the words he preaches. Shortly after moving to Portland, Franklin met Lisa and Joanna, a college couple who were traveling around liberal cities to feel what it was like being out as they came from very conservative background. They were staying at his and Vera's house because they were tired of sleeping in a car and overall had a good experience, seeing Vera as incredibly sweet and Franklin as a very good connection. Later that year, Lisa and Joanna saw the two again at DragonCon in September. It was around this time that Franklin started to refer to them as his pet lesbians. Lisa and Joanna had little interaction with Franklin until 2011, when they stayed the night at his room at Frolicon. During the evening, only one bed was available, and Franklin was sleeping in it. While he didn't coerce the two to get in the bed, the only other option was a chair. While lying in bed, Lisa felt incredibly uneasy and couldn't go to sleep, eventually waking up Joanna. While Franklin had made no moves to touch them, neither could fully relax, and so they decided to take the chair instead. When they talked this over with their friends, it was pointed out that Franklin should have given up the bed and slept in the chair, as that's far more natural than a man the age of their parents sleeping in the same bed as them. After this, they generally cut contact with Franklin, realizing that the pet name was rather objectifying, and only kept in touch through Christmas cards that were addressed to Vera. Because their experiences with Franklin were largely tangential, their interactions are tame in comparison to others. However, both believe that if they had not been looking out for each other, and had met with Franklin alone, their relationship with him might have gone down a different path. Melanie met Franklin while he was in Florida in late 2009, though she was only there temporarily due to visa problems, and was currently living in the UK. They got into a relationship rapidly, with him admitting he had a crush on her before her stay was over. Early the next year, Melanie decided to visit Franklin in Portland. During her stay, she got very little time alone with Franklin, as Vera was heavily involving herself with both of them. While this annoyed Melanie, she felt the visit was fine. Around this time, Franklin also introduced Melanie to Sylvia, someone he met at Dragon Con from the UK, who Melanie started dating, though this would soon lead to problems.
In the fall of 2010, Franklin, Melanie, and Sylvia took a trip to France with a large poly group. During this trip, Franklin and Sylvia hooked up, and Sylvia began competing with Melanie for Franklin, causing Melanie to feel neglected throughout the trip. When Melanie tried to explain this issue to Franklin, he gave script responses like, "I love you," and didn't really address the problem. After the France trip, Franklin came back to the UK with them and was going to spend a week there. During that week, Melanie was largely busy, but wanted to spend at least one evening with Franklin. When she approached Franklin about spending a night together, asking him to choose who to hang out with for a night, hoping he'd choose her, Franklin did choose her, but it appeared to be a foreign idea to him, as generally to spend time with him you'd negotiate with his partners. Soon after, Franklin left, and due to her financial situation, Melanie moved into a group home with Sylvia. During their time living together, Melanie and Sylvia's relationship degraded. Melanie kept Franklin informed about their situation, telling Franklin about hurtful things Sylvia was doing, which Franklin agreed were hurtful and toxic. Eventually, after about 6 months, this caused Melanie and Sylvia to break up, and for Melanie to become temporarily homeless. In late 2011, Franklin came to visit Sylvia, and wanted to see Melanie as well, as they were still together, though he was largely not informed on her life situation. During their meetup, Melanie broke up with Franklin, as she couldn't be with someone who was still in a relationship with someone that he agreed was toxic. Melanie was not involved in Franklin's relationship for a few years after that, until she was contacted by one of his partners asking about Sylvia, named Eve. Eve met Franklin at the end of July in 2012 during a trip to Portland, inviting him to dinner before a science lecture they were both going to. The dinner went fine, though he did bring Vera with him without telling her. About a week later, Eve met up with Franklin and Vera to watch the Curiosity launch. At the end of this meetup, Franklin asked Eve if she wanted to get together before she left. While Eve was busy, she decided to make room for him, and they agreed to meet on her last night in Portland. Through the midst of their evening at a pub, they decided it was a date, and while Franklin said he didn't want any more long-distance relationships, they kept in touch, with Eve believing that Franklin was perfect, though she later believes that their relationship advanced very fast. In early September, Franklin and Vera went to visit Eve so that Vera and Eve could get to know each other better, with Vera giving up her and Franklin's anniversary to do this. During the weekend, Franklin and Eve planned on going on a date one night, with the rest of the trip being negotiated by Eve and Vera so they all got to spend time together and Vera still got to celebrate her anniversary. When Franklin and Eve planned the date, Eve asked if Franklin wanted her to send it in the group chat or if he would tell Vera himself, which is what he said he would do. Eve thought little more of it until the evening when Vera was getting ready for a date she was going on, and Eve mentioned that she and Franklin would be spending the evening together. This caused Vera to direct some anger at Eve, as she hadn't been informed, though it left Eve confused as she felt that as competent poly people, this discussion should be between Franklin and Vera, as they were the actual couple that had communication problems. Vera eventually went on her date, and Franklin and Eve decided to just hang out at the house for their date rather than going out. Later that evening, as Franklin and Eve were making out and giggling, Vera returned home from her date, causing Franklin to get a little quiet. Eve thought that perhaps he might want to go see her, but as he didn't say anything, Eve thought that his and Vera's relationship agreement meant they didn't feel the need to check in on her. Later, Vera asked Franklin why he didn't check in on her, as she had wanted that, and he shifted the blame to Eve, saying that she wouldn't have wanted him to leave. This caused Vera to have a very different perception of Eve than was accurate, eventually causing her to send a long message trying to rectify her and Eve's relationship. Eve was very busy around the time Vera sent her message, and while she notified Vera that she thought their relationship was fine, she did promise that she would send more later. Throughout September, Eve never got back to Vera, though troubles in their relationship only increased. While Skyping Franklin and talking about very sensitive topics, Eve noticed that Vera was in the room, something that she hadn't been aware of. This made Eve very uncomfortable, not because she was trying to hide things from Vera, but because she had believed her and Franklin's communications to be private, and she explained to Franklin that she wanted him to tell her who was in the room when they were talking, just to know who was listening to her. Around the same time, Franklin shared his Google Calendar with her. When Eve looked in on it, she found that Vera was logging every interaction that Eve and Franklin had, listing the start time, the duration, and a name such as Eve Call or Eve Skype. Eve approached Franklin about this in the next Skype call, asking what was going on with his calendar. Franklin explained that Vera just liked to keep track of things, and that he would stop it if she wanted, which he did. While Franklin explained that it would be fine if Vera stopped this, Vera thought differently, getting incredibly upset that Eve was asking her to stop tracking their interactions. While Vera's grievances with Eve mounted, Eve had still yet to respond to Vera's long and vulnerable message. After nearly a month of no communication with Vera, Eve sent a letter to Franklin for Vera, stating in it that she wanted to give Vera the relationship that Vera wanted, but she needed to understand what that relationship was. Eve also invited Vera to her birthday party within the letter, hoping to get to know Vera better. Throughout the rest of the month, Eve and Vera's Skype conflict continued, until near the end when Franklin gave Eve Vera's response letter. The letter was written legalistically and explained that Vera was angry with Eve because of their interactions as well as false information that Franklin was feeding her. This caused Eve to ask for a Skype call between the three of them to resolve their issues. In the end, Eve agreed to concede on Vera logging their schedule if Vera conceded on Eve's request to know who was hearing her voice in calls. Franklin agreed to let Eve know who was in the room at the start of calls, though he eventually stopped despite Eve's continued request, leading Eve to appear demanding in the eyes of Franklin's other partners. Vera also agreed to come to Eve's birthday party, despite initial thoughts that the invitation was insincere. Eve's birthday weekend in November was very busy, with Eve splitting time between Vera, her friends, and Franklin. It was also tightly scheduled, as Eve was having it in Portland and was only there for a limited time. This meant that after her last night, which was a date night with Franklin, she didn't expect to see Vera. This changed when Vera asked if she could get lunch with them the next day, something that Eve had no issue with. When Vera got home and realized that Eve had come to Franklin's house without her being there, she got angry, as she had expected Franklin to know her well enough to think about inviting Eve over after the date night so the three of them could spend time together. This issue was peacefully resolved, but only served to increase the tension in Eve and Vera's relationship. Sometime later in November, Vera wanted to discuss the calendar issue again. However, this went poorly for her, as both Franklin and Eve wanted her to stop, especially as she couldn't give any reason to justify logging their interactions. Because of these and many previous issues with Vera, Eve considered it stopping or at the very least slowing down her relationship with Franklin. This never actually happened, as when she approached the point with Franklin, he appeared to collapse emotionally, causing her to feel immense sympathy for him and decided to continue the relationship. Around this same time, Eve found Celeste's blog posts about the divorce, seeing examples of Franklin gaslighting and abusing her. Soon after, she approached Franklin on the topic, introducing it so they understood that she could see him acting differently during a divorce. Franklin claimed to have never even read the blog post, though Eve brought up that she had seen his comments on them, a point that he deflected, and said that Celeste just hadn't been compatible with him. This caused Eve to consider how she would feel she was being treated like Vera by Franklin, but she thought that that wouldn't happen because Franklin used the same terminology when referring to Vera as he did with Celeste, saying that he and Eve spoke the same language and that Vera just didn't, and that they were so compatible. This comparison of Vera to Celeste was amplified a few months later, when Vera approached Eve about spending time together while she was in Portland, saying that they didn't spend enough time together during the rest of Eve's trip. Eve disagreed, wanting to spend time with Franklin, and he agreed with her, acting incredibly cold towards Vera and saying that she was behaving like Celeste. This reinforced Eve's opinion that she and Franklin were incredibly compatible, and that others just weren't as compatible as them. Eve's relationship with Vera continued to go through ups and downs, with Eve eventually deciding that she wanted to end contact early 2013, due to an unremembered reason.
Franklin agreed that Eve had tried to keep the relationship longer than should be expected of anyone. This is not necessarily unusual for poly relationships, as while many try to remain in good relationships with their partner's partners, or metamours, it is not a requirement for poly relationships. As a result, Eve largely did not interact with Vera following them cutting contact. Around the same time, the first major disagreement between Franklin and Eve occurred. After going to a scientific conference, Eve had an idea about how one of the topics could be applied to polyamory, and discussed this idea with Franklin, along with her desire to publish a blog post about it. A few days later, Franklin wrote a blog post about her idea, passing it off as his own. Eve confronted Franklin about it, but he gaslighted her, saying that while she had shared the idea with him, she had never said that she wanted to write a blog post about it. Eve remained strong in her belief, and Franklin started saying that Eve's writing would be different and still valued, despite the fact that he had a significantly larger audience than Eve, which would cause her writing to seem derivative. Eventually, Franklin credited Eve on the post, as well as offering her his platform to write a guest blog, though he maintained that you couldn't own ideas and he had done nothing wrong. While Franklin had failed in gaslighting Eve about the blog post, in June of 2013, he was able to successfully gaslight her for the first time. This was during PolyCon Canada, when Eve and Franklin were on a panel. Prior to the panel, during breakfast, Eve had been discussing with Franklin and others how the poly community should have a common code of ethics. Now she hoped to discuss that during the panel. When they actually discussed at the panel, no real opportunity appeared for Eve to bring up a common poly ethics, until the very end, when they were given the opportunity to give some parting words. While Eve was preparing to present her idea, Franklin spoke out that the poly community should have a code of ethics. This shocked Eve, and so she didn't really speak out at the panel. However, when they got home, Eve confronted Franklin, saying that he had usurped her and stolen her idea. Franklin asked what she was talking about, as he had been blogging about polyethics for years, which was a blatant lie. Franklin then started attacking her about being so defensive of her ideas, and questioned whether their recent decision to write a book together would work if Eve continued to be so possessive. This caused Eve to drop the topic, as she wanted their book project to continue. Within the next month, Eve got her wish, as Franklin and she began working on their book, More Than Two. During this process, Eve and Franklin frequently Skyped for 2 hours a week on Sundays, though one weekend Franklin was going to Florida for a family reunion, meeting up with Amber and Amy while he was there. When Eve asked if he was going to hang out with them instead of coming to their writing time, he assured her that he would be there for their book time. On Sunday, Eve logged into Skype and found that Franklin had not shown up. When Eve confronted Franklin on this, he turned it from him being noncommittal to her being jealous and not wanting him to spend time with his partners. This was a frequent issue with many of his partners, as Franklin didn't tell his partners of boundaries or changes, and when confronted about it, turned it back on them by implying they were being jealous or possessive. Franklin also wouldn't keep these implications to himself, often telling his other partners about the flaws of each other, though he would often turn these flaws into an example of how loving he was for caring about these broken women. This was not the only time that Franklin failed to work on a book, as he would often say that he would work on it during times other than their writing time, but then failed to do so. As such, it seemed like progress on the book was taking forever, and so Franklin and Eve decided to isolate themselves in a cabin for a bit so they could get some work done uninterrupted. From October to November of 2013, Eve and Franklin spent about 6 weeks house-watching for someone Eve knew. During the house sitting, Amber and one of her girlfriends were coming for a couple days to pick up a cat that Franklin's parents were adopting. Near the day that Amber was coming, Franklin told Eve that Vera was coming along with them. This was a clear violation of Eve's boundaries, as she had no contact relationship with Vera. This caused Eve to reach out to Amber because she didn't know what to do and trusted Amber. As a result, Amber got a hotel room nearby so that Vera wouldn't be brought into Eve's space and so that Franklin could still see her. They would then come up later without Vera to get the cats and meet up with Eve. However, before Amber and Vera showed up, Eve and Franklin had one of the first major arguments in their relationship. Throughout the cabin experience, it became clear that Eve and Franklin's writing styles were very different. While Eve needed a large amount of time to get into the writing groove, Franklin could immediately start banging out words. This caused him to spend a large amount of time not writing, which made it more difficult for Eve to get into the zone. As such, they agreed on a 2-hour period where they would turn off other electronics and just work on the book. During one of these periods, Franklin started texting Vera, and when Eve confronted him about it, he deflected, saying things like he'd turn his phone off soon. This caused Eve to get extremely frustrated, and so she went downstairs to deal with her anger, screaming into a pillow a couple floors down. After calming down a bit, Eve went to the bathroom to wash her face, but after seeing Franklin's hug-it-out, soft-side toiletry case, she found a burst of anger and hit it, shattering a Q-tip case that she hadn't known was inside it. This caused Eve to question whether she was an abusive partner, because abusive partners break their partner's property. After cleaning it up, Eve went to the kitchen where Franklin, looking crushed and hurt, was waiting, before confronting Eve and saying they didn't like how Eve treated him when she was upset. This caused Eve to break down, and she explained how she had left to take care of herself, and that this was the only way that she knew how to deal with being upset. Franklin realized that he had put Eve in a bad situation, and said that he was fine with how she took care of herself. They never, however, talked about Franklin's refusal to honor boundaries, which had been the root cause of Eve's outburst. Eve also explained that she had broken his Q-tip case, but promised to get a new one. After this argument, Amber and Vera visited so that Amber could pick up the cats. Thanks to Amber getting them a hotel, this visit went fine, and no further boundary was broken. The rest of the cabin watching went fine, and Franklin and Eve managed to get a large amount of work on their book done. About a year later, the book was published and incredibly well received, giving Eve and Franklin far more success than expected. Following the book's release, Eve and Franklin went on tour. During this tour, which lasted a number of weeks, Franklin pointed out how well they lived together. This was ignoring the fact that they were outsourcing basically all their housework by eating out and showering at YMCAs or friends' houses. They also had someone managing the logistics of travel and coordinating with all the event hosts, meaning the tour was largely stress-free. It was also around that time that, despite having no qualifications, Eve and Franklin decided they were qualified to speak on abuse. This was because people who had read their book know that it had helped them see abusive dynamics and abusive relationships. And while Franklin and Eve didn't focus on abuse for their book tour events, they eventually gave a workshop on abuse at Poly Living Philadelphia in February of 2015. It was at this event that Franklin would meet Rose. The weekend of Poly Living, Eve was incredibly busy with both her part of their workshop and a job she had already agreed to. This meant Franklin was attending the con largely on his own, and at an after party he met Rose, who he quickly got a crush on. Eve thought that was cool, but didn't see her until Sunday, when Rose and her partner Sasha stayed with them for the night. During this brief interaction, Eve saw no particular chemistry between Rose and Franklin, outside of the friendly interaction they were all engaging in. The next few weeks, Eve was busy with work, and so generally unaware of what was happening in Franklin's life. But in updates, Franklin continued to say that his relationship with Rose was going well. These updates and what Eve calculated to be a 6-hour Skype call, but was later revealed to be a 12-hour one between Rose and Franklin, caused Eve to request they not progress his relationship with Rose further until talking to her. This was because Eve felt that Franklin had too many relationships already, and with many of his long-distance partners being unsatisfied, and Vera being mad that she hadn't had time with her nesting partner for months. Despite these protests, Eve decided to look into Rose, as she knew that Rose might still become a partner for Franklin, and thought it wise to get to know her before she joined the relationship. Eve's research quickly caused her to be even more hesitant about Franklin getting into a relationship with Rose, as she discovered that Rose was 26, whereas Franklin at this point was 49. When Eve asked if Franklin knew how old Rose was, he said no, and so she told him to look into it. Franklin said that after he learned how old she was, he lost all interest. However, the next time Franklin visited Eve and they discussed Rose, he said that he would have to break up with her. This was 2 weeks after he and Rose met, which angered Eve as she felt they shouldn't have proceeded their relationship so quickly without consoling her, or at least putting on hold as she had requested. Franklin broke up with Rose while he was at Eve's house, though he requested a private locked room and for Eve to wear headphones while he did it, something unlike anything he had ever done. Over the next few months, Eve asked more questions about Franklin and his relationship with Rose. Though he remained vague in his responses, his answers weren't matching up with what Eve knew. Over this time, he and Rose were still talking, though they had broken up, and eventually Rose did cut contact with him. All throughout this, Franklin refused to consider that he had betrayed Eve by moving into a relationship so quickly without informing her of the extent of it. Eventually, due to the lack of information from Franklin, Eve construed her own interpretation of the relationship that she presented to Franklin. In this interpretation, Rose saw the relationship in a deeper way than Franklin, who just saw it as flirtations, and that he had been forced to break up with someone who he'd never consent to entering a relationship with. When Eve presented this story to Franklin, he agreed that it sounded right, though Rose's own interpretation, as well as Eve's later findings, resolved that this was entirely a machination of Eve's coping. Soon after the Rose situation was resolved, Sylvia, Mulaney, and Franklin's shared partner came to visit. Eve was on generally good terms with Sylvia, only concerned that Sylvia sometimes expected Franklin to drop everything to be available to her. It was during this visit that Sylvia wants to do a road trip, which Franklin agreed to, though he promised Eve that he would help with their crowdfunding campaign during rest stops. Despite this promise, he largely failed to make himself available to Eve. Eve was generally accepting of this, only asking that he let her know in advance that he wouldn't be available to her. While annoying, this situation only caused problems when Eve requested that he do the coding for a website, something that she was unable to do. Franklin agreed that he would be able to do it, but the evening they had said he would, he sent a message saying that he would be completely unavailable for the next few days. This caused Eve to call him and get him to do it because he had canceled on such short notice. But he refused to see her side of it, saying that she shouldn't expect these things when he's traveling with a different partner. This caused Eve to hang up on him, though they eventually got back on the phone together, with Franklin agreeing to delay that portion of the trip for a day to finish the coding.
Soon after Franklin and Eve's fight during the trip, Franklin was inflicted with a major health crisis, which turned out to be chronic appendicitis, but for a time they believed was a lethal and untreatable form of cancer. Because of this health crisis, Eve decided that she wanted to be with Franklin her whole life, sharing his narrative that they were so compatible. Franklin was also seriously considering moving to Canada at this point, due to the health crisis, and around this time asked Eve what she would have with their relationship if no other commitments were in the way. Eve said that she would have Franklin as her life partner, and live with him. Franklin said that she could have that, as his commitments to Vera, his current nesting partner, didn't stop him from living with someone else. Because of this, Franklin began living with Vera, though not permanently.
While living with Franklin, Eve began to notice a new trait of Franklin's, in that he would often lack awareness of what his partners were doing, and would expect their full attention if he started talking to them. An example of this was when Eve was doing laundry, and Franklin blocked her path to talk to her. Eve recalls smiling and asking to talk when she was finished with her laundry, which caused Franklin to emotionally collapse, backing away incredibly sad and disappointed. Soon after, Franklin and Eve left the house, heading for the SkyTrain, and Eve noticed that Franklin was being very cold and withdrawn. When Eve asked what was up, Franklin replied that she should know, but as Eve pressed, saying that she didn't know, Franklin rebutted that she had brushed him off. When Eve tried to explain that she was in the middle of something, Franklin said that her body language and expression had upset him. This, along with Franklin's anger while saying it, caused Eve to start crying while continuing to argue that she hadn't done anything wrong. This caused Franklin to backpedal, becoming apologetic for putting her in this position. This relieved Eve, but from that point on caused her to be very cautious about smiling and maintaining eye contact when setting any boundaries with Franklin. No further developments occurred in Eve and Franklin's relationship until fall time, shortly after Franklin's memoir, The Game Changer, was published. During this time, Eve and Franklin decided to go on a tour around Europe, for both The Game Changer and More Than Two. Eve was in charge of this trip and would be organizing their hotel and their transportation. As they were in the UK for 2 weeks, Eve asked Franklin if he wanted to spend any extra time with Sylvia, though he declined this. However, as the trip approached, Sylvia messaged Eve about how Franklin had invited her to travel with them. Eve determined that this wouldn't work for her and that she was already at her limit, but found a couple of days in Rome where Sylvia could come visit them. In hindsight, Eve realized she could have simply had Franklin and Sylvia travel separately from her, but this didn't cross her mind at the time. However, as the trip began and Eve realized it was far more stressful than expected, Eve went back on her deal, as she wanted to spend some time with Franklin after working for 5 weeks straight. Franklin said that he understood and would take full responsibility for it, though he actually just told Sylvia that Eve said she couldn't come. This caused Sylvia to contact Eve and ask how she was going to make up for it. Eve felt that was unfair because she had offered Franklin extra time to spend with Sylvia when they were in England, but that he hadn't said that he didn't want to, showing her that Franklin really had no desire to spend some more time with Sylvia. This caused an argument between Eve and Sylvia that generally went nowhere, though this was not the only argument during the Europe trip. The second argument occurred when Franklin and Eve were in Rome, when Eve got a call from a bookstore. Prior to the trip, Franklin was supposed to have dropped off some of his books at a bookstore, and had told Eve that he had done so. When Eve confronted him about this, he said they hadn't had time, which confused Eve because she could have had someone else deliver the books. Franklin's deflection, along with Eve's own anger, caused her to decide to spend the morning with herself. However, this plan was thwarted, as when Eve was getting ready in the bathroom, Franklin came in and had her sit down and discuss what was wrong. This was despite Eve already saying she wanted to be alone for the morning. During the conversation, Eve said that she felt like she could only rely on people she was paying, a statement that Franklin took great offense to and caused Eve to believe he might break up with her. Eve pointed out that Franklin was often unreliable, which he denied, and at one point said, "Do not yell at me. I'm not one of your employees." Eve found this statement odd, as Eve wasn't yelling and had never yelled at her employees. Eve not yelling is corroborated by her girlfriend, who was staying with them at the time, and didn't even hear raised voices. Despite Eve knowing she wasn't yelling, she started apologizing, which caused Franklin to switch from the calm personality he was at this point to being caring towards his wrong, weak, and unstable partner. Franklin's own perception of this event was that Eve was out of control and had bullied and abused him. Following the Europe trip, Franklin and Eve continued their plan for him to move to Canada, and in July, he finally did. They planned on getting him permanent residency through merging their shared U.S. company and Eve's Canadian company, and then going through a government program. It was around the same time that Eve proposed that Franklin marry Amy, so that she could immigrate with him. Franklin thought this was a good idea and asked Amy, causing them to get engaged. While this plan was initially sound, soon after the program that was allowing Franklin to immigrate through the companies was canceled, forcing them to come up with a new plan. After searching, they found that the easiest one required Franklin to get a Canadian degree, so he began working on that. He and Amy also got married in Florida as quickly as possible, so that they could immigrate together. This new plan also ran into difficulties fairly quickly. Franklin was having difficulty with the university and getting his degree, though it is unknown by Eve whether this was because of the university's unresponsiveness or Franklin's. Franklin was also supposed to be working in a senior position at Eve's company while he was working on this, though he would rarely do much to lead the company and seemed to believe that the fiction book he and Eve were writing together would be such a major success that they wouldn't need to work anymore. He was also still spending large amounts of time in Portland and wouldn't respond to work requests then, despite Eve knowing he was on his phone from his Quora activity. This caused him to be a major financial drain on Eve, as she was paying a salary far larger than the work he was doing, and also covering the university fees and immigration fees. And while the stress of dealing with immigration was already great, it was further compounded by the wedding that Amy wanted. Although Franklin and Amy had already gotten married in Florida, that ceremony had been small, and Amy wanted something bigger, which Franklin agreed to. However, behind the scenes, he told Eve that he didn't care for the larger wedding, and still thought of her as his life partner. This caused him to act to Eve like he was being coerced into the wedding, and he told her they would prefer to be marrying her. Eventually, Eve asked why he hadn't set a boundary on not doing the wedding or getting married, to which Franklin responded that Amy would break up with him if he did that, which would mean she wouldn't move to Canada, which would mean she wouldn't have health care, which would mean she would die. As the wedding approached, Eve felt that she couldn't attend, as from her perspective it seemed like Franklin and Amy were having a huge spectacle for something Franklin considered worthless. This caused her to ask Franklin how important it was for her to attend the wedding, to which he responded that it was incredibly important, as he was going through it with it entirely for her. This came out of left field for Eve, but Franklin justified it by saying that she hadn't wanted to leave anyone behind, and that was the whole reason he was marrying Amy. Eve completely disagreed, feeling the wedding had nothing to do with her, and so decided to not attend. The final day of the wedding ceremony was decided to be July 31st. The day after was Franklin and Eve's 5-year anniversary. Eve checked with Franklin to see if he would be able to come home immediately after, which he was, and so they decided they would go to a concert of Franklin's favorite band for their anniversary. About 10 days before Franklin was leaving for the wedding, he told Eve that Sylvia was coming to Portland, and so he was leaving to spend a week with her. This made Eve angry, as they had already made plans to buy a camper van and clean it up, but Franklin had already bought tickets and planned this without telling her, until the very last minute. Eve tried to go alone to deal with her frustration, but Franklin, as he had other times, followed her and asked what was bothering her. When Eve explained, Franklin reframed it as her being jealous of Sylvia and not supporting their relationship. He then asked her to explain her emotions logically, being cold towards her, causing Eve to break down. Franklin then returned emotionally and comforted her, with the result of the interaction being Franklin got to continue doing what he wanted, and Eve had to deal with it. Eve met up with Franklin and the rest of the wedding group a day before their anniversary in Washington. This turned out to be a mistake, as Eve was having difficulty connecting with everyone because of the sexualized atmosphere that she wasn't comfortable with. Eve was also having difficulty connecting with Franklin, as he was focused on one of Sylvia's metamours that he had bonded with while they were traveling. Eve's breaking point was when people played a song that Franklin had put on the wedding playlist, that Eve and Franklin considered their song, causing Eve to want to leave, despite it being in the middle of the night. Eventually, Eve decided that she would instead leave in the morning and told Franklin this. Once the group they were with left, they went back to the van to discuss. It was at this point that Franklin told Eve he actually wouldn't be able to go back to their anniversary because he was going to spend that time with Sylvia because she was leaving soon. When Eve got mad and told him that he had already promised that he hadn't had plans, Franklin shut her down, saying, "The only thing that matters is that in 3 days, she's getting on a plane back to the UK." Eve started melting down and banging her hand on the van wall. She then brought her fist down on the mattress next to her, to which Franklin said, "You just hit me." Eve started breaking down, begging for his forgiveness, considering the possibility that she was an abusive partner. Franklin took care of her until the morning when she left to go back home. During the ride home, Eve considered checking into a hospital because she was having suicidal thoughts, though decided against it due to being worried about what people would think of her. This entire breakdown would later be referred to them as the Challenger disaster. Later on, after the relationship had ended, Eve explained the Challenger situation to her counselor. Their conclusion was that Eve had not been abusive, primarily because Eve never attempted to stop Franklin from leaving, and given that Eve's position, lying down between Franklin and a wall, he was actually solely by positioning, stopping her from leaving. Eve also never actually felt Franklin's hand, though it was below the covers and the situation was mostly tense enough that Eve could be misremembering. Overall, given the context that Eve was already taking out her anger on the objects around her, it's very hard to paint the situation as Eve actively striking Franklin. When Eve got home from Washington, she remembered something that Amber had written as a guest post on Franklin's blog, about how she felt like a monster and wanted something else in regards to being in a relationship when Franklin was with Celeste. Eve sent this blog post to Franklin and said this was how she felt. She also started feeling compassion for Vera and started considering whether Franklin might be a problem, as she had felt this way and Amber had felt this way. While Franklin was away, they continued to argue over text, and when he got back, they decided to go to a counselor. The counselor sessions became focused on Eve's breakdown and on how to make sure the Challenger disaster never happened again. In the next few months, while processing the Challenger, one of Eve's friends pointed out that Franklin was gaslighting Eve to make her seem jealous. Eve decided to start pointing this out to him, which angered him and made him keep asking Eve to explain what that was to him. To do this, she showed him a blog post about how gaslighting would make a partner look and feel crazy, and she told him that she felt this and she thinks she saw it in Vera. Franklin responded by saying that Eve did this to him, which again caused Eve to question whether she was an abuser, and so she asked Franklin when she'd done it so she could stop. Oddly, Franklin couldn't provide any examples. However, this caused Eve to monitor her behavior over the next few months to ensure that she wasn't gaslighting, and when she asked Franklin about it later, he said that she had stopped. Around this time, Eve wrote an apology to Amy for her outburst, to which Amy responded by posting on Twitter how she had received a shitty non-apology, paraphrasing the content of Eve's letter. This wasn't the only issue Eve was having with her metamours, as Franklin was telling Eve that Amber was treating him badly, and that Amber didn't feel that she had a good relationship with Eve. Eve and Franklin also traveled to Europe around this time, and while in the UK, Eve was put in contact with someone who had bad run-ins with Sylvia, who was gaining a bad reputation in the UK poly scene. This caused Eve to question Franklin's story about his partner Mulaney, and so she reached out to Mulaney to ask her about Sylvia. After this, Eve realized a pattern that Franklin was always outwardly cruel when he was with Sylvia or had recently been with her. In retrospect, Eve believes that Sylvia offers Franklin a relationship style that required no responsibility, and that was the reason he stayed with her, despite his numerous other partners having issues with her. In October of 2017, Eve asked Franklin about how he seemed so happy in the wedding photos, to which he responded, wondering why he wouldn't be happy. This was despite how much he had told Eve during the whole process about how he was being dragged into it and basically contradicting the public face he was putting on for everyone. While initially Franklin seemed to believe Eve was questioning him being happy, he seemed to finally understand after the conversation that Eve was upset because she was being forced to keep a bunch of secrets that Franklin had told her, and that if she spilled those secrets, it would threaten many of Franklin and her relationships. For a time, the problems in Eve and Franklin's relationships were put on pause, as Franklin got sick and was put on an antibiotic that he was allergic to. To resolve this, he was then put on steroids that made him quick to anger, so Eve didn't bring up any of the problems during this time. However, once Franklin started feeling better, Eve started bringing up some issues like how Amy had blocked her in October, and Eve didn't know what to do, given that Amy was going to move with Franklin to Canada, and because of their strained relationship, Amy might not speak to her. In addition to Amy blocking her, Eve was also largely isolated from the rest of the polycule, and so any information people got on Eve during this time came from Franklin. This combined with how Franklin was telling her that very few of her metamors liked her meant that Eve's only real source of help at this point were Franklin and friends outside of the polycule. The next year started with even more problems to Eve and Franklin's relationship. One of these problems was financial, as their company was barely meeting payroll, which when Eve tried to discuss this with Franklin, he deflected, and so they never talked about it. This was made worse by the fact that Franklin wasn't doing the work required of his position, and they was sending his money away to Vera. When Eve tried to bring this up, Franklin would make it seem as though Eve was concerned about his relationship with Vera, and not actually the business. Eve also felt uncomfortable from this situation because of the immense power she had over Franklin through it, as by this point she was both able to fire Franklin and, due to his failure to do the work, actually justified in doing so. Firing Franklin also wouldn't just end Franklin's income, but also stop Franklin from being able to immigrate. Because of this, Eve felt that she was unable to act, as it was important to her that Franklin have his own money so that she was in less of an abusable position. Another continued problem was being isolated from the rest of Franklin's partners, as she was waiting for Franklin to tell them that he had been telling her secrets and personal thoughts about them, so that the reason for her breakdown would be more clear. This never happened. Eve was also beginning to think that there was something wrong with her for not being happy in their relationship, as she had bought into the narrative that they were so compatible, and she began to think that perhaps Franklin was the only one who could love her. Because of these issues, Eve decided to sign up for an anger management class, as their counseling had determined that this was one of the big problems in their relationship, a decision that Franklin supported. While in the anger management class, Eve realized that she didn't belong. Half the women were there because of court orders, while the other half were people like her, who had been told that they needed anger help, but really didn't. The techniques that were taught in the class were ones that Eve attempted to do, but that Franklin never allowed. An example of this was taking a timeout, but whenever Eve tried this, Franklin would follow her and force a confrontation. Another was screaming into a pillow, which Franklin didn't like regardless of whether he could hear it or not. Overall, the only thing that Eve got out of the anger management class was that her baseline was incredibly high because of all the things she was managing, and so she asked Franklin to help her lower it. He was largely unresponsive. Around the same time Eve began taking anger management classes, she and Franklin were getting ready to publish their book, Black Iron. To help promote this, they went to a professional event where they were hoping to get some colleagues to endorse the book. At this party, Franklin began groping Eve, which he believed he was nervous and a little checked out, and so pushed his arms away. When he continued to do this, Eve asked him to stop, which he did, though he seemed pouty. After the party, Eve asked him about it, but instead of explaining, he just said they wouldn't touch Eve like that. The next day, when Eve tried to bring it up again, he refused to acknowledge her side of the story, and claimed they didn't put her hands back on her after she moved it, and that Eve was making this up. Eve also tried setting a new boundary around this time, that being when Franklin could sleep in the same bed as her. This was because Eve went to bed a lot earlier than Franklin, and would often be woken up when he came to bed, sometimes losing hours of sleep. This was despite the fact that Franklin had his own room with a bed that he could use at any time, but largely only used it when his other girlfriends were over. Franklin initially agreed to this boundary, saying that if he wasn't going to bed at a certain time, that he would go to his own room. However, after a couple of weeks, Franklin stopped following this boundary and continued to wake Eve up when he went to sleep in her bed. In the beginning of February, Eve started keeping a journal, because a friend of hers had been gaslighted for nearly a decade, but when she started keeping a journal and showing that gaslighting was happening, it stopped. Also in February, Eve and Franklin invited Franklin's crush they connected with during his wedding, as he was telling Eve they might get into a relationship with her. It was around this time that Eve learned that Franklin was 20 years her senior, and had met her when she was in her mid-20s, though she felt too worn down to object to the relationship, aside from saying that she wished Franklin had found out her age sooner. This visit very quickly began to cause problems. Franklin's crush was very withdrawn from Eve, which Eve believes was due to what Franklin had been telling her. Franklin was also not doing any chores during the visit, making Eve feel like hired help. A particular chore that annoyed Eve was him not cleaning off a frying pan after using it, as Eve felt like the first thing she did every morning was clean up after him. When Eve sent him a message angry about it, Franklin responded by confronting her and saying that he was beginning to dread looking at her messages. Him and his crush also never cleaned up after themselves and didn't show any gratitude towards Eve, who was at the time doing all the cleaning. For the whole visit, Franklin was telling Eve they didn't believe that he and his crush were connecting the right way, and that they probably wouldn't get into a full relationship. Contrary to this, Eve's husband, who lived with them but was no longer in a relationship with Eve, told her that they were definitely connecting whenever Eve wasn't around. These different realities were resolved when, towards the end of the visit, they went to a conference that Franklin was speaking at. During a dinner at the conference, Franklin and his crush were being incredibly flirty, and it seemed to Eve that it was actually going to be a relationship. This caused Eve to ask Franklin about it, which he responded by implying that she was jealous. This was not the only thing that happened at the conference, as Franklin's speech was on things he had learned about polyamory since writing a book about polyamory. During this speech, Franklin decided to talk about the Challenger disaster, which Eve had given him permission to talk about. However, during the speech, Franklin completely mischaracterized the situation and claimed that rather it being called the Challenger because many different things led up to it, they called it that because of the explosiveness of Eve's anger. This angered Eve because she thought it would confirm what Amy thought about her. Franklin did help Eve with this, as when he asked why she still cared what Amy thought of her, Eve realized that there wasn't a reason to and stopped caring. After this event, Franklin planned to head back to the UK with his crush to hang out for a bit. While he was there, he was also planning on establishing with Sylvia that they were no longer partners, a conversation which he had been planning to do for a while, but that Eve had suggested he could do while he was there with his crush. Franklin was also planning to meet with Mulaney, who he had initially expressed remorse over and wanted to hear her experiences, but later on felt that he hadn't done anything wrong. Franklin was gone in the UK for a little over a week. During this time, a reporter, who was writing a book on polyamory, had sent Eve a draft of her book. The reporter had interviewed Eve, whose only condition was that she wouldn't discuss weddings, but after reading what the reporter had written about Franklin's talk, requested that her part be removed, which the journalist refused. As a result, Eve asked Franklin to tell the journalist the truth, or at least tell them that the talk hadn't been the whole truth. Franklin didn't respond while away, so Eve asked the journalist if the three of them could Skype when he got back. When Franklin got back, Eve talked to Franklin about the journalist situation, to which he saw no issue. Eve then pointed out that if she shared her side of the story, it would throw Franklin under the bus, though he didn't seem concerned as he felt that he had told the truth. He also then started pointing out that Amy or Sylvia could be interviewed as well and talk about how Eve had melted down, all while implying that he wouldn't care if they did. Eve responds to this by saying that if they did, they would no longer be her metamours. Franklin then continued pointing out all the things people might say about her and how irrational she was being for being concerned, eventually causing her to break down. Once this happened, he started to comfort her, but in a cold, rote way. While being comforted, Eve screamed, causing Franklin to tense up and began apologizing to him, saying that she hated who she was becoming and that she wanted to die. Franklin placed the blame of her being upset on her hating who she was becoming. Eve believes that it was because she had pointed out the information she knew could ruin Franklin's reputation. He decided to attempt to silence her by gaslighting or discrediting her to make her seem crazy. Eve believes this is why his comforting was more cold and rote than in the past. The next day, Eve and Franklin had a Skype call with the journalist. During this call, Eve tried to explain that she wasn't comfortable about the information in the book, though the journalist kept turning on her, saying that she would publish what she wanted. After badgering Eve about why she didn't want the current version published, Eve shouted at the writer that it wasn't true. This caused the journalist to relent and ask Eve what to change. Following the call, Franklin asked Eve how she got to the point of yelling at a journalist, and said that there must be something that Eve wasn't telling him that caused her to act this way, ignoring all the things she had told him. Eve started crying again, and continued crying as they were going to bed. As she felt crazy, Eve began looking up local crisis hotlines. As she was typing in the number, Franklin came out to see what she was doing, and after Eve explained, he took the phone away from her and led her back into the bedroom. The following day, Eve began to experience memory loss and having difficulty communicating. She forgot about the wedding ceremony, except the idea that something bad had happened last summer. She was somewhat able to communicate with a friend, who they set up to talk with Franklin to explain to him what she was experiencing. Soon after this, Franklin had a multi-hour Skype call with Amy, that Eve is unaware about what they talked about. Following this, Franklin told Eve that Amy was willing to talk to her and try to repair their relationship, and that he had told her the truth about what he'd been telling Eve. Eve doesn't believe this is true. On March 11th, 2018, Eve and her neighbor friend were going to speak to Franklin and try to share her experience. The friend asked Eve to write down two things that she wanted Franklin to know. The first was to have Franklin say, "I'm sorry I don't understand what it is that I did, but I want to hear more." And the second was to have Franklin understand that Franklin has been gaslighting me and financially exploiting me. Immediately when the conversation started, Franklin started deflecting and saying that Eve was being unclear, to which the neighbor pointed out that Eve was completely clear to her, and she could help him understand what Franklin was claiming he wanted to. The conversation continued, and at one point Franklin emphasized a she when stating, "Oh, I know she believes that this happened." The neighbor said that this was a specific instance of gendered violence that was as bad as rape. This was when Eve knew that they had lost Franklin, as he started going on about how she didn't believe men could be abused, which the neighbor stated that she never said that. Eventually, the neighbor asked Franklin to read what Eve wanted him to say. He did, but didn't say that "I'm sorry." And the conversation continued with Franklin deflecting, but the neighbor refused to let him. This caused Franklin to say that she was shutting him down, which the neighbor agreed, saying they would get to his perspective once they went through Eve's. This was caused Franklin to physically shake and for his Fitbit to signal that he was running. Eventually, Eve said that nobody thought that he was the bad guy and that she cared for him. Finally, Franklin said they need to leave, and the neighbor agreed, saying they could have a timeout and come back later. Once they left, Franklin said that he wasn't going back there, and the whole experience had been incredibly destructive. One of the reasons he gave for this was they felt like being asked to reflect on Eve's experiences was equal to being asked to overwrite his own. They then spent the next few hours processing Franklin's feelings. During this conversation, he asked Eve about the rape comment and the shutting down comment. When Eve didn't fully agree with him, he considered it very important information. During the conversation, Eve felt that they spent more time considering his feelings from a 30-minute experience than they had considered hers for the past year. They also spent no time going over why Eve was losing memories or the things that the conversation with the neighbor had intended to address. Eventually, they went to bed, but at 2 or 3 in the morning, Eve bolted awake and realized she no longer felt safe in their bed, and so went to sleep on a mattress in the living room with her cat. The next morning, when Franklin woke up, he gave her a hug and a kiss and asked why she hadn't slept on the same bed. Eve responded by saying that she needed some space before going to work, leaving the house for the first time in several days. After a couple of hours, Eve started to feel better, but as she was heading back home, she started feeling dread. So Eve messaged a friend and picked up some clothes, deciding to stay at their place. At this time, Eve also reached out to Amber, hoping to establish communication with another nesting partner, Franklin, to help figure out what to do. That night, Eve woke up with her heart racing and her skin flushed at around 2 or 3, the time that Franklin usually came to bed. This was the start of an issue that would stick with Eve for a couple months. The next day, Eve got a response from Amber. After Eve shared her experiences, Amber stated that while she hadn't experienced the same things, she'd also been hurt by him. Eve was also in contact with Melanie at this time. At this time, Eve decided that she didn't want the relationship with Franklin to end, but she did want him to move out and start doing his job. This was partly to see if he could live on his own without a woman holding his hand, as the only time he had been alone was when he was being taken care of by long-distance partners in Atlanta. A couple of days later, Eve and Franklin had a couples counseling meeting. Eve brought Amber's emails with her, with Amber's consent, and let Franklin know that she'd been talking to Amber so as to not blindside him. He responded by saying that he'd wish she'd talked to him, as she had cut contact after the wedding ceremony. Eve told him that she understood why Amber cut contact, causing Franklin to question if Amber was breaking up with him without telling him. When Eve sent Amber this to let her know that Franklin might reach out, Amber responded by saying that she hadn't been in a romantic relationship with Franklin for years. This caused Eve to throw up from shock, because for years she had believed that Amber was Franklin's partner, and that Amber was treating Franklin badly. Soon after, Amber said that she was going to check out because Vera had sent an email about how Franklin was complaining that she was breaking up with him. Eve then went to the counseling session. At the therapy, Franklin initially agreed that he was gaslighting at least two partners, though he gave excuses for why for each of them, but continued to say that he wanted to learn more. He then presented his side of the story, saying that his phone had been on silent for years because he was afraid to turn on the ringer since Eve broke his Q-tip holder. This was a lie. He then claimed that Eve screamed at him and that he had gaslighted her because he was afraid of telling her the truth. He also implied that Eve had broken more of his things, when the only other instance was a time when she accidentally threw out a picture that she thought was hers. Eve also rarely screamed at him, though she did raise her voice. The only instance that she had were screaming into her pillow when they were writing, once alone in a shower, which he is unlikely to hear having been upstairs at the time, and the recent instance of screaming into his chest while breaking down. While telling this story, Franklin refused to look at Eve, and when she tried to interrupt, he shushed her with a raised hand and a look. It seemed that Franklin believed the therapist was going to say to Eve that she was clearly the abusive one. Though instead, the therapist asked Franklin to look at Eve and invited her to speak. Eve admitted that she sometimes had inappropriate anger, but that didn't change the fact that he had a pattern of gaslighting. Eve did not challenge his lies, feeling unable at this point to confront them. At this point, they agreed that Franklin needed to move out, though he seemed to believe that the only option was moving back to Portland, despite the fact that there was affordable housing in the area. When Eve pointed this out, Franklin mentioned that he was concerned about Eve abusing her power as his boss. Eve said that she wouldn't, but Franklin didn't seem convinced. At the end of the session, they hugged, and Eve mentioned that she felt hopeful. Franklin said, "We'll see." Following the session, Eve showed Mulaney the notes she had taken, which Mulaney quickly pointed out that he was abusive by lying and making Eve and his other partners responsible for his behavior. She also noted that he appeared to be retconning their relationship. Within a few weeks, Eve and Franklin's relationship had changed from what Franklin described as a fuck yes to Eve being a crazy, unpredictable, controlling bitch with an explosive temper. Eve also believed that while at this point Franklin knew he was lying when he talked about Eve's abuse and had premeditated it, he has since changed into actually believing it. Following the session, Franklin decided to move back to Portland, planning on only moving back once the permanent residency came through, which was years away. While Eve wanted to see him so they could have some good memories before he left, Franklin said that this wasn't a good idea. So instead, Eve had some friends go check in on him, but not take any sides. One of these friends told Eve that he was saying some alarming things and that Eve probably shouldn't talk with Franklin one-on-one, offering to act as an intermediary. By March 19th, Franklin had moved most of his stuff out of the house, only leaving stuff in his office. Eve had had the house repainted and furniture replaced because everything was too associated with Franklin. Around this time, Amber also recontacted Eve, telling her that she couldn't handle large amounts of stress but wanted to be kept updated. The next month, Franklin returned to retrieve the rest of his things. Eve avoided contact and so stayed out of the house, but her mother, who saw him, said he seemed subdued and near tears. Amber also wrote an email to him, Vera, and Amy at this time, telling them she was no longer in a relationship with Franklin and hadn't been for years. She also asked Franklin not to contact her. While one was respectful and set boundaries, another said that Franklin hadn't considered her a partner for years. It was around the time that Franklin received this email that Franklin created the narrative that Eve was poisoning other people against him. Eve started trying to find a mediator to talk to Franklin through, first contacting a friend of Franklin's who he had said really liked her, though she was blocked without a response. Eve then contacted one of Amy's partners, who said he was open to her, but largely didn't respond to her. This caused Eve to fill his inbox with largely word vomit about what was going on. Eve also put Franklin on leave of absence at this time, something that would not impact his immigration and would keep his phone working, as well as keep him insured. She also said that she would need to contact him again within a couple months. Eve also offered a therapist to help mediate between them, though it was one that Franklin didn't like because of their reaction to the Challenger disaster, and so he declined. Near the end of April, Eve checked on Franklin's social media and found that he was in a hospital and complaining about not being insured. Eve let him know that he was insured and was sending him his insurance details when he went offline. Because Eve didn't know what had happened and both Franklin and Vera weren't responding, Eve contacted one of Franklin's friends, Marissa. Marissa was a fan of Franklin's who Eve had heard from Franklin was very interested in him and wanted him to be their long-distance dom. He said that he refused because of the existing power dynamic. When Eve contacted Marissa, they said that they were willing to help Eve with the insurance thing. While they were talking, Eve updated Marissa on how she had asked Franklin to leave and they'd moved out. Marissa told Eve that they hadn't heard a different story from Franklin and suggested Eve talk to Franklin. Eve pointed out that Franklin wasn't responding, so Marissa offered to mediate. When Marissa brought it up to Franklin, he refused and became convinced that Eve was telling Marissa that he was abusive, despite Marissa assuring him that Eve wasn't. This eventually caused Marissa to realize that Franklin was lying. Eve and Marissa began talking more frequently. While they had met prior, they had never communicated for long periods of time before. During one of their chats, Eve told Marissa about breaking the Q-tip, but also about Franklin's accusations during the therapy session. Marissa responded by sending an article about emotional abuse. While Eve initially believed that was directed at her own actions, Marissa clarified that they believed Franklin was abusing her. Marissa was also becoming less comfortable around Franklin at this point, and pointed out to Eve that soon after Franklin had left her, theirs and Franklin's communication had gotten more intense and sexual, something that Marissa was uncomfortable with. This confused Eve, and so she brought up how Franklin had said that Marissa was in love with him. Marissa said that she had never been interested in that way. Eve then asked if they had ever asked Franklin to be their long-distance dom, something Marissa promptly denied. After hearing that this was what Franklin was saying about them, Marissa cut contact with Franklin and unfriended him. This helped Franklin's argument that Eve was poisoning people in the community against him. At the end of May, Eve and Franklin had a mediation covering financials and other stuff. During this mediation, Franklin immediately went on the offensive, using what Eve had sent to Amy's partner as ammunition. One of the things he mentioned was that Amber had sent an email telling him that Eve had told her they still considered Amber to be a sexual relationship with him and that he was entitled to her mind and body, along with a couple of other bad things. While Eve argued that she had never sent an email like that and that she knew Amber wouldn't write that, Franklin wasn't hearing that and said that he was very comfortable calling this action of Eve's abusive. Eventually, they agreed on enough that they would sign the documents of those things and plan to continue negotiating the other stuff at a later date. They would sign the papers the next day, but not do any negotiations then. Between the negotiations and the signing, Eve contacted Amber and asked for a copy of the email she had sent to Franklin. The next day, at the end of the contract signing, Franklin said that he was willing to meet a counselor as long as they had never met either of them before and were trained in abuse, and said that while Eve might feel like he no longer loved her, he assuredly did. This prompted Eve to bring up the letter and say that Franklin was gaslighting her, and she wouldn't speak face-to-face with him again. Franklin got quiet at that and asked if he was ever going to get an apology for the conversation with the neighbor, claiming that she and the neighbor had been trying to gaslight him before starting to pound the table. The session ended after that with Eve believing she would never again see Franklin face-to-face. Near the end of June, Eve reached out to Franklin, asking if he wanted to negotiate the things they missed last time rather than fight it out with lawyers. Franklin's facilitator responded verbatim that as long as Eve remains resistant to seeing a neutral couples counselor with experience in abusive dynamics, I see no reason for us to have another session. Soon after, Franklin wrote a Quora essay about the horrors of couples therapy and characterized Eve as being unwilling to see a different counselor during their relationship, a complete lie. Soon after, Eve sent Franklin a formal layoff notice. Two more communications between the two of them occurred. Eve invited Franklin to visit and say goodbye to their dying cat, and they agreed to dedicate their last book to her. Eve also sent a final communication when Franklin finished his last 2 weeks at the company. Following that, all communication between the two has been through intermediaries. Soon after they ended communication, Amber told Eve what Franklin had been doing in Portland throughout their relationship. Apparently, he had never told Vera that he was moving to Canada, and she'd believed for the year that he lived with Eve that he was still her nesting partner. Eve then decided to reach out to Franklin's other exes. Out of the 8 women that Eve contacted, only one of them didn't consider Franklin a bad experience in their life, and even this one said that he had destroyed their relationship in The Game Changer. Rose was one of the women who reached out to, and it was through this that Eve learned that the Skype call he had with her was twice as long as she had initially thought. Rose also told Eve how Franklin had often mentioned how some of his partners were struggling, which she identifies as a possible attempt to create an adversarial dynamic. Rose pointed out that during the video chat, he had specifically mentioned that Eve was jealous when ending their relationship. Rose had also been told by Franklin that he was willing to have a relationship with her at an age a couple years younger than what he told Eve. Franklin also told Rose that he was open to friendship, but when Rose reached out, he never responded. When Rose asked him what he thought friendship was, he deflected, and eventually the conversation died. So where did Eve go with this information? Sometime in 2018, a pod was formed to call out Franklin for his activities and share the stories of all those hurt by his activities. The pod was also willing to offer ways for Franklin to show that he was seeking to better himself, so long as he was open. Since then, they have published these stories on the website itrippedonthepolystair.com, the main source for this video. Despite the widespread publication of these stories, Franklin remains a prominent member in the polyamorous community, and nowadays is claiming that to be a victim of Eve's abuse publicly. I invite all those watching to donate to The Network, an organization that seeks to end partner abuse in all kinds of relationships. Should this video ever be monetized, all earnings will be going there. With that said, thank you for watching.